Good morning. What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating a multitude of gifts and blessings from Almighty God. Let us hear these words from Luke chapter 21. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." May God's presence rest upon us as we continue to worship together.
Good morning. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. People of faith, prepare for the coming reign of Christ. The days are surely coming, says our God, when justice and righteousness will prevail. Please remain standing and join in our hymn of praise number 203, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Please be seated. Our Advent wreath meditation is taken this morning from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. Hear these words. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
Advent is an invitation to meditate, on the promises of God. Here is what the prophet Jeremiah sees. A righteous leader will spring up, one who will carry out justice and righteousness, one who brings salvation and safety for the people. How then do we live as those who believe that the promises of God will be fulfilled? How do we then live as those who lift up their souls to God, as those who walk a path of love and faithfulness, as those who work for justice and righteousness, as those who live in the light of hope? If we are alert to the promise of the Lord and live in the light of hope, we will be truly blessed as Christ comes again into our lives.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. In you, O God, we trust. The one who is coming will show us the path of steadfast love and faithfulness. Teach us your ways, O God of our salvation. We light this candle in the sure hope that God's promises endure.
Light of hope.
Please stand and join me now as we recite the opening prayer together. You will find the prayer printed in your bulletin. Holy source of life and hope, as we come together this day, open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, and open our hearts to love, that we may come to know your ways and follow your paths. Help us grow in love for one another and for all creation, as we prepare for the coming of the one who calls us to turn from our false gods to you, Holy One, the true source of our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. Our responsive scripture reading this morning is Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. This reading may be found on page 757 of your red hymnal. Please recite your response after each prompt. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. We have reached the point in our service Our moments of informality where I will take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of the church. We have a lot of announcements this morning if you peruse your bulletin, but I'm only going to highlight a few. There is a cover dish dinner planned for December's fellowship night on Wednesday, December 19th. That begins at 6:30 here at the church. The Nurture Committee will provide ham and beverages, and you are asked to bring a side dish or dessert. You can sign up today on the clipboard, and this will be passed throughout service. If you missed the clipboard this morning, you can call the office directly. The Outreach Committee is extremely busy this year. As in years past, they will once again sponsor two very worthy projects during our Christmas season. That's the Angel Tree and the Christmas Food Baskets. Many families need our support, especially at this time of the year. Sign-up boards for both projects are in the narthex. And the Outreach Committee will also be manning a table this morning. They will have their sale for their annual fruit. You can order that. They do ask that you pay for it upon order, and the fruit will be delivered in January. Diane has a few announcements.
First of all, for the Advent wreath lighters, there is still one more opening for the 11 p.m. Christmas Eve service. If anyone is interested in being lighting the candles for the Advent wreath that night, it would be lighting the Christ candle. You can sign it on the sheet in the narthex. We're still looking to restart the Acolyte program. So if you have a student from fourth grade up and would be interested, if you would see me or put a note in the offering plate so that it gets to the office. And next Sunday is the Irwin Male Chorus here at the church. It's at 7 p.m. And I really hope to see a lot of you there. In past years, we've had a lot of people from the community and very few from our own church, which is sad. So please come and bring your friends and neighbors. It's an excellent opportunity to see a group that has made a name for themselves as well as for Irwin. This is their 100th anniversary, and I believe that'll be 100 years singing here, if I understand correctly. Anyway, we are going to need cookies for that event, not for the concert, for the reception afterwards. And if you can bring cookies, you can either bring them that night or bring them Sunday morning and leave them down in the kitchen area. But otherwise, we'd really like to see a lot of you there for the concert. And if there's anyone who is still interested in helping the Salvation Army ring bells at Giant Eagle, if you would let me know. I did get one call this week from some scouts who wanted to do it. I would encourage those of you who are students who still need your service hours for school, that's a good way to get some of those in. So if you would see me, I'll put you in contact with the correct people. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. While Jack Tickle comes up with an announcement, I do have two quick announcements from some committee coordinators. Bernetta Green has asked me to announce that she needs some smiling faces to serve as greeters before each of our worship services. If you can volunteer to greet on an occasional Sunday, please contact Bernetta or the church office. And also, Alice Hubert has asked me to announce that altar flowers are needed for the next two Sundays, December 9th and 16th. So if you would like to sponsor altar flowers during this Christmas season, please contact Alice or the church office. Jack?
I have two quick announcements. One is we were raising the money for the fish and chips challenge. We were raising money for the Zimbabwe church building projects. And altogether, we raised a total of $412.37. So, thank you. Give yourselves a round of applause. I was amazed. That's really good. Fish were officially the winners of that, so they get an ice cream outing. And that's chips had $202.07, and fish had $210.30. So it was very close. The other announcement is that the Christmas Eve children's service. We still have a lot of speaking roles left and some non-speaking parts. So anybody that has kids or knows kids that would like to be involved in the play, just either I'll be available after the service today, or you can send me an email, call me, call the office, any of the above, and let them know that you're interested. So thank you.
Thank you, Jack. And a final announcement after children's moments that Reverend Lake will be giving in a few minutes. The collection by the children will go to the Salvation Army. So please dig deeply and help the Salvation Army for this Christmas season. And a final reminder, please make certain that you check all of the announcements and other meetings that are scheduled, especially for this week during the life of our church. And now I say, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
I'm coming. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
May I sneak
in? Yes, ma'am. Are you getting decorated for Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you have your tree up?
Yeah, we do.
Our tree went up also. Yes. Hello, sweetie.
We already have everything set up.
Everything is already set up. Do you have a train?
Everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, we've got, look at how many trees are here. One, two. We've got two Christmas trees.
And I got one.
And you've got one at home, and we have one at home. You have one as well. And all kinds of things. You know, at the early service, there were two boys that had on matching red shirts. And they had that funny green-skinned guy on there. You know what his name is? The Grinch.
He does not like Christmas at all.
He does not like Christmas at all. Matter of fact, the movie is called The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And in the cartoon one, I think the cartoon one?
Yeah.
I think that is the much better one.
I have
not the newer one.
I like the one when I watch it. I like the one. It always comes on my TV.
And it was just on TV, I think, maybe last week. And the Grinch, he doesn't like Christmas, so he sneaks into the homes and steals everything.
Even the presents.
Even the presents, the decorations, their food. Even he takes a little crumb from a
mouse. And one little tiny bit of chicken.
A little bit of chicken.
And
turkey.
And a big...
The roast beast. I think he calls it. And a big Christmas tree. And yet, little Cindy Lou woke up. Where does Cindy Lou live? What's the name of the town?
Whoville.
Whoville. Sound like an owl. Whoville. But Christmas morning, after the Grinch had taken everything,
he felt bad.
Why did the Grinch feel bad?
Because he ruined their Christmas.
Did he ruin their Christmas?
Not yet,
because when in the morning the people were singing. Because the people knew that Christmas is not about trees and decorations and food or presents, but Christmas is all about who?
Jesus.
And so they gathered together and were singing, and the Grinch's heart grew
big
that morning. And he went down and said, I'm sorry. And Christmas continued.
And he tossed out all the presents and all the trees back.
So we
and
need
dog
to.
Dog Max.
We, and the dog Max. We need to remember that Christmas is not about the trees and the decorations and all the presents, but about having Jesus right here in our heart. All right? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We pray that Christmas might rest within their hearts and that they might always remember that you love them. Continue, O God, to bless them and their families and all of those who care for them. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Do you want to help pass some cups out?
Yeah.
If you want two, you may have two. Thank you. We come now to the time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. If you would turn on the back of our worship folder this morning, you will see those individuals that continue on our prayer list. Nina has gone home, so she is not in the hospital anymore. We'll want to continue Marion, Jane Forbes, Ed in Shadyside, and Paul in Monroeville. I also have received some other announcements. A Joy Gabby, who is a young girl that some of the First Service family attend school with. She had an aneurysm around Labor Day, and she is now starting back to school part-time this coming Monday, so we rejoice in that. Also to remember a death that occurred this past week, James of East McKeesport. He died Wednesday, November 28th, but that is Debbie's cousin. He was buried this past week as well, so we will want to continue to remember his family during this time. Also, Marion, Ed's mother, and that's your grandmother, right? If I'm getting that all correct. So she is at the Snyder Funeral Home today, 2 to 4, 6 to 9. And then Monday, tomorrow morning, her services will be at 11 o'clock. So we will want to continue to remember all of these individuals in our prayers. Let us continue as we unite our hearts and our spirits. A gracious and loving God, in the life of the church, a new year and season have begun. This incredible season of Advent, a time that enables us 4 weeks to prepare for the celebration of the Christ child and his entry into our world and our lives in Bethlehem. And with a sense of joy and celebration, O God, we pray that your Spirit might rest upon each and every one of us. For his life is a life that has changed the world like never before. His life is the one that has the potential to change our lives like no one before. It is our hope and our prayer, O God, that as we continue this journey through this season of Advent, that your Spirit might rest upon us and that we might grow closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. As we come into your presence, O God, we are mindful that in the midst of all of the joy and celebration, that life still continues. And sometimes it is hard and difficult. Individuals lose family members and loved ones. Individuals are faced with procedures and operations. There are those who have received the words of devastating news of disease and illness. And in the midst of it all, O God, you are the one who is there to offer your presence a healing and a comfort that is just beyond our understanding. You are the one, O God, that knows the names of every individual in the situations that are listed upon our prayer list. You even know the situations upon our hearts. O God, you know our humanness and our shortcomings in our asking. But we pray, O God, that you will continue to work wonders in the lives of people, that indeed the light of Christ might shine forth upon them and within their lives, giving them a sense of peace and comfort, health and wholeness, that their lives might be changed and transformed and made new, and that honor and glory might be given to you as the light of your Son Jesus Christ radiates forth within the darkness. O God, prepare within each and every one of us as we make preparations to receive this holy meal of communion. We pray that the sins of our past, that they might be wiped clean. Prepare in us, O God, how to offer Christ and how to minister to the world in the days ahead. Continue to guide and bless us, O God, as individuals and as your church. We pray that your blessings might be upon the leaders of this church, each ministry that is represented here this day. We pray for the leaders of your churches around the world. O God, continue to bless us and use us, that faithfully we might be your servants. O God, it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray, as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, I ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
faithful and never failing God. We enter this holy season of Advent focused on prophecy, but standing on your promises. When you spoke to the children of Israel through your prophets, it was with the promise of a covenant to be fulfilled and made real in the flesh and blood of the person of Jesus. Accept now, O Lord, our tithes and offerings in grateful appreciation for all that you do and in anticipation of what will come. In your glorious name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear once again these words that come to us from the prophet Isaiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. May God's blessing be upon the reading and hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives, we are indebted to you. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we ask and pray that you will give us comfort and rest, a sense of peace, O God, from the activities and the events of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. As we journey through this season of Advent and make preparations for Christmas, we're going to look at the stories of Christmas that come to us through the Christmas carols. And so today we are going to be looking at that wonderful hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. Now, usually when I pick the hymns out, if some of you are curious, I usually use the first one as some type of a praise hymn. The second one is a little more subdued, setting the tone for prayer, and the third hymn somehow ties in with the sermon. Why are hymns important? Well, consider Psalm chapter 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Hymns is also another way for us to tell the story. For indeed, there is a rich history and tradition within our hymns. God is good. God is steadfast. God's love endures forever, and God is faithful to all the generations. Why would we then not come into God's presence with a joyful noise, with gladness, and with singing? O come, all ye faithful. Now, it was not until after World War II that we found out who wrote this wonderful hymn, an English Catholic priest named John Francis Wade. He put his finishing touches on this great hymn in 1750. In the past century, it has been recorded hundreds of times by some of the greatest entertainers in history. It's even one of the few traditional carols to land on the record charts, making it to the top 10 three different times. It has been translated into more than 150 languages, used in thousands of cantatas and musical productions, and it has been called by some critics as the greatest carol ever written. Now, for several hundred years, it was believed that the person who wrote "O Come All Ye Faithful" was an unknown cleric from the Middle Ages or even before. Legend had it that Saint Bonaventure had penned the words, and so it came as quite a shock when an English scholar, Maurice Frost, discovered 7 "O Come All Ye Faithful" transcripts written by hand and signed by John Francis Wade. The next and often still repeated legend began in London around 1860 when "O Come All Ye Faithful" was performed at the Portuguese embassy. The organist, Vincent Novell, informed his audience that a man named John Redding had composed the melody, and the song was published by Redding and is often referred to as the Portuguese hymn. Now, in America, as in most of the world, this song was adopted by many Christian churches before 1900. It was one of the focal points in the caroling movement when churches would roam around the city or the town on perhaps some evening or afternoon, singing wonderful carols to those in their homes, and often they would sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful," as one of the closing choruses. If you'd like, open your hymnal to page 234 to this wonderful hymn. And as we look at the first verse, it indeed appears as if angels are speaking to each and every one of us. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him born, the King of angels." And then the second verse, "True God of true God, light from light eternal, lo, he shuns not the virgin's womb, Son of the Father begotten, not created." And we'll realize that those words sound a little familiar. And if you'd flip back into the creeds, to the Nicene Creed numbered 880, you will read these words: "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made." Now, the original Nicene Creed was adopted in the year 325 at the First Council of Nicaea. Verse 3, "Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God, all glory in the highest. And once again, the angels are singing and proclaiming their full exultation to the world that the child of Bethlehem, the Christ child, has been born. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given, word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Yes, Lord, we've come to greet you. Birthdays are indeed wonderful days of joy and celebration. Just as the angels in the third verse were singing to their full exultation, we likewise are called to give all glory to the word of the Father who now is among us as flesh and blood and bone. For John's gospel rings true in those opening words of that first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. The life was the light for all people. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him who is Christ the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we journey through Advent, may we continually come to adore him, to praise him, and to serve the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. O God, we pray even now that your Spirit will rest upon us, preparing us to receive this child of Bethlehem through this holy meal of communion, through this love, grace, and forgiveness that Christ offers to each and every one of us. O God, may we humbly bow at our King. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. As we come together this day, we remember the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we remember that as he gathered together in that room with the disciples, he shared together in that last meal that's become a holy meal, a meal of grace and forgiveness that is offered not only to the world, but to each and every one of us. And so we remember as Jesus Christ gathered together with his brothers and sisters, probably family and friends, to have that Seder meal that was a family-oriented meal, that at some point during that meal, Jesus picked up some bread. He lifted that bread to the heavens and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body and it's broken for you." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been broken for us today. And then at some time during the meal, Jesus also picked up the cup. He lifted it up to the heavens and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, for it is my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world, for the forgiveness of your sins." The blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you. May we drink and receive grace and forgiveness. I want to remind you that in the United Methodist Church, we practice open communion. And so that means that each and every one of you, whether a member here or anywhere, are welcome to receive these elements. We also say that age is no barrier. From the youngest to the oldest, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." And so they are welcome to come as well. We will be receiving communion in the pews this morning. I would ask that you would hold the elements so that together as one body we might commune together. And I would recommend that you allow the person sitting next to you to act as a servant so that they might receive the tray from you, and then with two stable arms you might be able to take the bread or the juice and then pass that to the ushers. The table has been prepared. Christ invites us. Let us come. Of all of the gifts that you've ever received, you hold the most precious gift in your hand, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been broken for you and offered to you that you might receive his presence, his grace, and his forgiveness. Eat it and remember him. Amen. During the Seder meal, there was an Elijah cup on the table, and it normally was never touched, and it stood for all of the hopes and the promises of that new kingdom that would be ushered in someday. Imagine the shock of the disciples if that's the cup that Jesus picked up and said, "This cup today is a new covenant because it's my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. And take it and drink it and remember me." And so to you this day, Christ offers the new covenant of his blood, shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. Receive his grace and forgiveness, his holy presence, as you drink and remember him. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us and within us, that the past is gone and wiped clean, and that within this new covenant we begin anew, afresh today. Might your Spirit, O God, continually anoint us, guiding and directing us, that we might be your disciples, the sharing of the light of Christ with the world. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Our gracious and loving God, as you are faithful, we seek faithfully to go forth into the world to share and live and proclaim the good news of Christ our Lord, the light of the world. Send us forth, O God, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.